Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It dawned on me on Wednesday when we had the first of the two chapels hearing from the summer cross-cultural groups that I would have done well to invite every group, every student who shares, to introduce yourself first. And then it dawned on me I probably should introduce myself as well, since a number of folks are new to the campus community. So I'm Brian Martin Burkholder, one of the campus pastors, and the primary coordinator for this university chapel program. It's a joy to hear from two more groups that embarked on cross-cultural learning over the summer. First of all, the Bolivia Galapagos Islands. Is it more than one island? It's islands, right? Yes, group, I thought so. And then Honduras.
Hi, my name is Laura Zaire, and I'm a senior. This is my last semester. And during our trip this summer, it was 6 weeks long, and we spent the first 2 weeks in Cochabamba, Bolivia, which was kind of a big city. And then we spent a weekend in the Chapare region, which is like the lowlands of Bolivia. And then we went to Tocoli, which is the altiplano or the highlands, and we spent a weekend there as well. And then we went to the Galapagos for 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about our experiences.
Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about our trip in Cochabamba. That was our first visit, I guess, on our trip, and it took like 24 hours to actually fly and get there, so we were all exhausted. And we ended up, we had a school that we went to, and we took Spanish classes there every day for 2 weeks, twice a day. And that's where we met our host families. They actually came and picked us up, and it was actually really intimidating because we all had individual host days. So that was really scary because none of us really knew Spanish that well, and they were all fluent, and so we had to really rely on our hand gestures and a lot of motions.
And Google Translate.
Yeah. So that was a real struggle, but it actually was a good experience because it made me realize how forgiving and understanding they were with our language barrier. And if that was, you know, vice versa in the U.S., it's like, you're in the U.S., you need to speak English, whereas there, they know that we're trying, they're really excited, and they want to help you. So that was really awesome for them. And one of the memories that I have from Cochabamba was me and Caitlin were walking to school one day, and we saw this kid like carrying his hamster in a cage. And we're like, that's kind of weird. Like, all right, like maybe they just do that here. And so then we were like looking down and we looked up, and outside the soccer stadium, there were just rows and rows of animals being sold, like puppies and kitties and bunnies and everything. And we were just like in so much awe. We were like drooling, and everybody was staring at us like we were so weird because we were so excited to see all these little animals. And they were like, this is such a normal thing. And they were like, what is going on? But we were so excited, and we had to go down every aisle and see all of the animals and touch and hold all of them.
Yeah. And like every person that we talked to when they had a dog, they're like, oh, we got it there. And apparently it's a weekly thing that happens. All right, so we also went to Chapare, which is the lowlands of Bolivia, and it's the rainforest. And our tour guide took us to this monkey rehabilitation place. We thought, oh, cool, monkey rehabilitation. So we're going on this hike up this mountain to a lookout. We're about a third of the way there, and the monkey with no tail that we'd been warned about jumps out and bites our tour guide in the leg, then jumps up and bites him in the hand. We don't really realize what's happening because everything happens so fast. And we're like, are you okay? Is everyone okay? Is everyone okay? Like, check the kids, are they okay? And then the tour guide kind of holds up his hand. He's dripping blood everywhere. And he's like, would you like to continue? No. Apparently he had like bitten through his hand. He needed to go to the hospital and get stitches. But he was okay then. So that was probably one of the highlights of the trip.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Stauffer. So we're going to talk about Tocoli. It was a little village up in the Altiplano that we went to. I'm going to talk about the food, which was probably everybody's favorite part. There were about 7 different types of potatoes that we had, and there was one that we called the potato corn carrot, because that's what it looked like, and it was fun. So basically, we had potatoes, and we had soup sometimes, and I, the very last night, watched my host mom make the soup and realized that she used the dirty dishwater and just put like a little sprinkle of salt in it and then put the potatoes in, and that was our soup. So I didn't eat very much of dinner that night. We also had tea, which was just boiled water with a little sprinkle of sugar. And sometimes they would send like the little children to run out and like grab random leaves and just like put it in, and then they just like dumped the tea. So that was our sustenance for the week, but it was really fun. It was a good experience. They were great people.
So I have a few stats about Tocoli. The number of people that were regular, 0. Number of potatoes eaten in 2 days, way too many to count. Number of translators needed to communicate, 2. One to Spanish and another to Amara, the dialect of the village. Percent of village that had the last name Castillo, 75%. Amount of time it took us to become out of breath at 14,000 feet, about 10 steps.
Yeah, so we were only in the village a couple days, but I really took a lot away from that experience. They really had nothing, but they were so generous with us. They gave us as much as they could, and I learned a lot from them, even though it was hard to communicate with them, a lot of gestures, a lot of laughing, smiles, but it was great, and we learned a lot and loved our time there.
Okay. So there are these donkeys in the Galapagos, and I think you saw them riding them a few times. Well, we were riding them back one time from fruit picking. Our guide was Milton. He had the hat on, and he had this machete, and he liked to smack the donkey on the butt to just get it to go. And so Marla was riding it one time, and she was doing great, going pretty fast. This donkey obviously wanted nothing to do with her, and We hit it one more time, and she started going really fast down the hill, and she tried to jump off in time, but didn't quite make it, and slid across the gravel, and Milton just laughed. And this guy, he was a great person. He showed us everything about the Galapagos and taught us so much about it. And Laura's going to tell you a little bit more.
Yeah, when I was in the Galapagos, I learned a significant amount about the people there, but also about like the plants and the animals, and I realized coming back to the United States that I know much more about the things around me when I was in the Galapagos than I do in the United States. I can recognize like 0 trees and birds here, but there I was like, oh my goodness, I know what all of these things are. And it was really great because we got to learn not just about the culture, but also about the things surrounding us that affected the culture of the people. And we stayed with a really awesome host family, Milton and his wife, and they cooked for us 3 times a day and had really awesome like stories to share with us and food, and they were really hospitable. And we also had really awesome cross-cultural leaders. We went with Doug Graber Newfield and his wife, Christina, and their 2 children, Alex and Evan. And we just wanted to say thank you to them too.
Good morning, I'm Jason Good.
And I'm Eric Trinka.
And Eric and I had the pleasure of leading an amazing group of 17 smart, adventurous, and compassionate students. And I know we just have a short amount of time, so we won't be able to convey everything we did, but we have a video and some of our students will be sharing about the different parts of our trip.
Our cross-cultural included a variety of opportunities, including language study, service, homestays, medical brigades, and many more things that you'll see in the coming presentation. We spent lots of our time visiting, learning about, and working with different organizations in very distinct settings, which you'll also see a bit of in our presentation.
So enjoy.
Being a tourist, being a consumer. When we first arrived in Honduras, we had a very long bus ride to Copan, where we would be spending the next 2 weeks. During our orientation, we had a scavenger hunt throughout the city, talked about immersing ourselves in the new culture, and became acquainted with the town where we would be for the next 2 weeks. We realized then that Honduras was beautiful and exotic, and it was a place that we only had a glimpse of. We met our host families, moved in, and we were ready for what this country had to offer. The taste of adventure was in the air. Then we began our schooling.
In the mornings, we ventured around this rich, historic Honduran town. We visited the Mayan ruins, a bird park, parrots are their national bird, ziplined through the canopy of the mountains, went swimming, took horseback rides into rural villages, and much more. In the afternoon, we had classes one-on-one with the teacher. It was an intensive Spanish immersion, but we quickly became grateful for the hard work we put in, as it helped us to speak better. Our time in Copan was a time to become familiar with each other, the language, and the culture. It really prepared us for the rest of our trip as we became accustomed to rice, beans, and eggs, roosters crowing at 3 a.m., and street dogs everywhere.
For week three, we hopped on a bus and headed for El Progreso, Honduras. The city was very different from our two-week homestay. We weren't allowed to go out at night, and we weren't really allowed to be alone in the streets. However, there we worked with the Organization for Youth Empowerment, or OYE, as it's commonly called. They are a program that holds after-school activities for students, provides them with scholarships, and gets them interested in future possibilities in order to keep them out of the gangs and drug scene. This week was a time of group bonding, as we all spent a lot of time together.
We were divided up into two teams, the art team and the education team. For our week there, OYE had teamed up with a local elementary school working on a recycling initiative program. Being EMU students, we were super comfortable with the idea of sustainability and we were ready. The art team was in charge of painting recycling bins and putting up a big mural in the schoolyard. The education team put together a huge program for teachers, including matching games, maps, a new book where we wrote about Beatrice, the plastic bottle, and much more. On the last day at the school, we held a program where the kids could visit each station and learn about the importance of recycling. It was a rewarding week, a tiring week, and a fun week.
Okay, so for week four, we spent our time with Mennonite Central Committee. We started off in San Pedro Sula, which is the most dangerous city in the world. During our time there, we visited local organizations and heard about their work in the city. Gangs were a big problem, along with corrupt government officials. This is where we truly saw the poverty level of Honduras. We had the opportunity to visit a banana plantation, hand out MCC school kits to schools, and visited local communities.
One community we visited was the Los Bordos, which means the borders in Spanish. They are shacks that house thousands of people built along the rivers in Honduras because they can't afford proper housing. Another organization we visited, a favorite for most of us, was AFE, which stands for Amor, Fe y Esperanza, which means love, faith, and hope. This was a school for children of families that work in the dump, and we were all very touched by the children there, and were even given the opportunity to visit the dump one afternoon and feed the workers lunch there.
Okay. In week five, we work with the MAMA Project, which stands for Mujeres Amigas Miles Apart. They provide medical and construction brigades that go into the rural mountains and help villages. They try to get to villages every 6 months. We were divided up each morning into the medical or construction brigade. The medical brigades completed doctor-like tasks such as height, weight, blood pressure, testing for anemia, pulling teeth with the help from a dentist, and handing out clothing and shoe donations to people that came through the line. Some even played with children while they waited their turn. The construction brigade went to homes near the medical site and laid cement floors for their homes. They usually were one-room shacks, and floors were often beds for the children.
Our final week in Honduras, we spent enjoying its natural beauty. We took a boat tour of the islands right off of Honduras, and then we went on a terrible, gut-wrenching ferry ride to Roatan, where we would spend our final week. Roatan is a beautiful island that's main language is English. We had the opportunity to eat a whole fish, see dolphins, scooter across the island for a day, and enjoy the beautiful coastal waters. Hondurans are so proud of the beauty of their country and all the country has to possess. The country is possessed by poverty and violence, but wrapped in kindness, generosity, and friendship.
All right, well, I'm gonna do some statistics while these beautiful pictures are playing in the background. This is Ruotan. The average amount of photos taken per person was 330, 6,000 total, which I think there's probably way more than that, but those are the ones that we have recorded, I guess. Average amount of bug bites, 42 per person, 816 total. Eric wore this lovely mosquito net all the time, so he only got like 7. No, not even that, like 2 or something like that. And then Steph, she was just immune to all bug bites. She got like 2, I think, the whole time as well. So totally unfair. But anyways, average tortillas, handmade tortillas, about 100 per person. That probably varied. Some people didn't like them, some people love them, so probably varied. I know this varied a lot. 7 hours spent dancing per person. Every single place we went to, they had tons of dancing. And then I came back here and there's salsa. And so I'm like, oh, I love this. So there's places around here where we can still fulfill our salsa needs. So I'm going to pause so you can take a look at this. Yes. Boom. And this. So, speaking of unfortunate events that happened to Eric. Oh. All right, there were 9 unfortunate events that happened to Eric. This all included dropping mangoes, falling down like that, getting pictures taken, coming out of women's bathrooms, just random things that happened to him. Unfortunate events also happened to Rachel along the trip. She broke 5 pairs of flip-flops. Yes. Parker lost 4 water bottles. And everybody but 5 of us had stomach issues of some sort. So, yeah. And also, 71 teeth were pulled at Mama Project, and Adam got to pull, like, I think 2 of them. So, yeah, it was really awesome.
God, we're grateful for the opportunities that these students and leaders have had. And we pause at this time just remembering fondly those who hosted and guided and taught, responded to the groups in Bolivia, Galapagos, and Honduras. Be a light in their lives. Continue to move in our midst, especially move in the hearts and minds, the souls of those who encountered these people in faraway places. That in many ways, they see even their own context differently. And we thank you for your guidance, your presence throughout. In the name of Christ, amen.